Welcome to the Phil Pringle Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Well, I want us to go to this passage in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 8. And it says here, finally, Abraham said to Lot, "Let's not allow this conflict to come between us or our herdsmen. After all, we are close relatives." So as you see here, Abraham has got a problem. His nephew has come with him, even though God said to him, leave your family, leave your country, leave your father's household. He ended up taking his father and his nephew with him. And so Abraham messed up a few times and gave partial obedience. Sometimes he found himself lying. And I take a lot of encouragement from this guy. Not that I condone lying. But I don't know about you. I guess, you know, you guys here, you're all just kind of perfectly obedient. But I have difficulty doing what I'm meant to do sometimes. Not saying what I want to say and saying what you... All that thing. So Abraham says to Lot, who is tagging along with him and getting blessed, but eventually the blessing is so great that there's not enough grass or water for all their flocks. And so there's conflict, there's strife coming between them. And so at that point, Abraham says to Lot, let's not allow this conflict to come between us or our herdsmen. After all, we're close relatives. The whole countryside is open to you. Take your choice of any section of the land you want, and we will separate. If you want the land of the left, I'll take the land of the right. If you prefer the land on the right, then I'll go to the left. Then he says, Lot took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord. Okay? Then it goes on, Lot chose for himself. Worst decisions you'll ever make in your life are when you're at the center of it. Lot is the selfish flesh that wants to come along for the ride with us on our spiritual journey into possessing our possessions, the promises that God has given us. And so Lot is like that flesh part of us that really doesn't want to obey God, doesn't want to honor the man of God or honor the covenant of God, just likes getting the blessings, just wants whatever he can get. He should have said, Abraham, far be it from me to make any decision about what, you tell me what I can have. He should have said, no, don't let me choose first. You choose first. But Abraham said, listen, you choose whatever you want and you can have it. And if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Abraham had this beautiful way of just letting God look after everything. It's up to God. I don't care. You make your choices. It's all going to work out for me. It doesn't really matter. He wasn't a control freak. He wasn't insisting on his way. So he gave it all away to Lot, his nephew, and he said, you choose. And Lot chooses for himself. And he parted company with his uncle Abraham. Okay, then it says, so Abraham settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom and settled amongst the cities of the plain. But the people of this area were extremely wicked, constantly sinned against the Lord. Okay, verse 14, after Lot had gone, after he had managed to separate that selfish flesh life out of his system, God spoke to Abraham and said, look as far as you can see in every direction, north, south, east, and west. Pretty much look all around you, and as far as you can see, he says, I am giving you all of this as far as you can see. Everybody say, as far as you can see. I want to talk to you today about having a bigger vision, a further vision, a larger life. I know God's called us to a narrow path, but that doesn't mean you got to have a small life. It's a narrow path so that you can have a broad mind and a big life. And you and your descendants will have this for a permanent possession. And that's pretty much what God was promising Abraham. But come back to verse 14. He says, after Lot had gone, after he had gotten rid of that striving, and in every one of us, there's these two natures that are battling each other throughout our entire life. Even at a point like this where vision builders, and you know that the Lord's going to speak to you about maybe going up a level, about resourcing the vision, about getting involved in blessing the house of God at a higher level than you have before. And there's a piece of us that says, oh, I'm not going to that dinner. I don't know what'll happen. I'll just take it easy right now. You know what? You need to get rid of that guy. Let him go. Let him make his selfish choices somewhere else, because it's blocking you hearing from the Lord. And then God says to Abraham, now I want you to lift your... After Lot had gone, there are some influences, there are some people, there are some voices, there are some attachments that have got to go, because God won't give us the vision with them intact. We're not going to be able to see where we're going in our future. And you can spend your whole life hooked up with the wrong influences and never get the vision that God wanted to give to you. Not to you and Lot, but to you. And here he is, he stands up and he says, look to the north. What's the north? Well, you know, for us and our church, that's Europe. East is Asia. West is the Americas. South is the Pacific, even Australia. And we've got all these areas that we got hundreds of churches that are in all these areas. We just had a phone hookup this last week and with our international executive, and we are now getting 1,000, we've gone up in the last few months by 1,000 souls getting saved every month per region right around the world. Incredible. And you know, I was so blessed by that. But you know what? At our last global conference, we had Jay John come in, and I lifted the emphasis on evangelism and on bringing souls to Christ. Because sometimes this altar falls into disrepair and people aren't getting saved and in some churches, and I can't see any point in doing anything. If we're not going to get people saved, shut the doors. Let's go home. The whole reason the church is on earth is that it's the gate of heaven, where earth comes to heaven and heaven comes to earth. It's the gate of God. It's the place where men and heaven meet. It's not meant to be just some religious observance every week. Every place we set up a church, we're setting up a gate of heaven on earth. There are plenty of gates of hell, where hell spews into the earth all of the junk that we kind of see all around us. But heaven wants to pour into this earth the Holy Spirit and the life of God, and every church we can erect as an altar around the earth becomes exactly that, a gate for God. So he says, look as far as you can see in every direction. I mean, just in your own life, north to your parents, south to your kids, east to your brothers, west to your sisters, your whole family, see them worshiping in the house of God, leading connect groups, reaching out to neighbors, serving the Lord, living for a greater purpose than just their own world. Look north, look east, look, see the vision ahead of all these things happening in your world that you're dreaming about, and activate that envisioning power that you've got on the inside of you that the Holy Spirit takes a hold of, and it doesn't just become an imaginary dream that you'd like to happen. It becomes a creative force. It actually is part of the process by which God makes things happen in the earth. That's why God gives young men and visions. And, you know, I don't know what he does to old men. But anyway, you know, who knows? You know, as we look at this, though, you're going to find that all through Scripture. Whoops. Can you put those scriptures back up there for me, please? You know, on this, I just got to do something here. I'm sorry. Okay, here it is. The people of God have always had this ability to make God smaller than he actually is. It says in Psalm 78:41, yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, I find that a very difficult scripture to believe. That you and I have a capacity to actually limit what God can do on earth. that we can make them small. But as your vision and your faith enlarge, you're going to find that God gets larger. Not that he needs to get larger. I mean, towards you. What God can do in your life is going to be limited by the level of stepping out that you do. And the level that we step out is going to be relative to the perception that we have of God, the way we see him. It says in verse 42, they did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. So the Israelites were saying, God's too small to set us free from 400 years of slavery. But when he set them free and they found some water that had gone sour in the desert, they said, oh, God's too small to set us free and then give us water as well. But he sweetened the water. Then the army of the Egyptian came down on the Israelites and they said, oh, God's going to kill us out here in the wilderness. They said, God's too small to fix this problem. Let me tell you this. Faith doesn't come from seeing miracles. The Israelites saw more miracles than you and I will ever see in five lifetimes. Faith comes from the word of God and your decision to switch it on. I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe that God moves. Amen. Doesn't matter how many miracles you see, the promises of God put faith in you. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. All through scripture, you've got guys who God would speak to, and then they'd say, how can that ever happen? Gideon was told, you're going to slaughter the Midianites, these oppressive foreigners. He said, how could that ever happen? So he said, I better get a big army together. So he gets 30,000 together. God says, that army's too big. He says, no, God, it's got to be big because you're so small. I need all the help I can get down here. He said, no, you don't. You need to get a smaller army and a bigger God. So he whittled down the army to 3,000. And Gideon says, God, this is terrible. How am I going to ever defeat the enemy with 3,000 soldiers? God, you know, you're not big enough to help us like this. And God said, no, the army's too big still. You need to get a bigger God and an even smaller army. Because I love doing lots with little. It doesn't matter how much you've got. It doesn't matter how much your resources add up to in your life. God can do the impossible with those things. If you just surrender them to him, if you bring them into his hands, you'd be amazed at what he can do with a lunch bag. He can feed 25,000 people. You'd be amazed what he can do with a little thimble full of oil. He can wipe out the debt of a widow woman and give her enough to live on for the rest of her life. He can slay 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. It doesn't matter what you got in your hand. You might say, I haven't got a lot. Whatever you've got, it's enough. Because God is way bigger than the resources we've got in our own lives. In Acts 9, verse 1 to 18, it talks about the conversion of Saul. And when he got converted on his way to Damascus, he was out to murder Christians. He hated Christians. He was going into houses, dragging out men and women, taking them to prison and casting his vote for them to be killed, to be crucified, to be burned, to be tortured. He hated them. He was the cause of many widows in Christendom. And he lamented that fact for years and years until his dying days. Here he is on his way to Damascus to do the same thing. And on the road, a light shines out of heaven and he falls to the earth. And the Lord speaks to him and says, what are you persecuting me so hard for, Saul? And Saul surrenders to Jesus. At that point, when he stands up, he's blind. He can't see a thing. For 3 days he's blind because the vision of Saul needed to die. The vision of Paul needed to come alive. The vision of Saul, the church destroyer, needed to die so that the vision of Paul, the church builder, could arise. This vision of Saul to bring death to Christians had to die. The vision of Paul to bring life to Christians needed to come alive. There has to be a moment where our vision is adjusted and changed. You know, here, I love this little thing up here. It says, turn to clear vision. If we're going to make a turn on the inside of us, an adjustment to actually get clarity in our vision, to get rid of Lot out of our lives before we can actually hear and see what God has got for us, then let's make the decision right now. and say, you know what? I'm going to get rid of small thinking. I'm going to get rid of negativity. I'm going to get rid of selfish thinking. I'm going to actually live for a bigger cause than my life. And I'm going to make sacrifices and make a commitment. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to rise to the cause and I'm going to make it happen. Yeah, go ahead. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. You know, Jesus said, hey, don't say there are yet 4 months. And then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes. Everybody say, lift up your eyes. He says, lift up your eyes, look at the harvest, because it's white, it's already now. And, you know, as a pastor, I've been pastoring for 40 years, and I find most people are pretty well obsessed with their own world. Their eyes are down. Like, when's God going to do this for me? You know, I've been praying for me for this. And the whole prayer is, my God, I pray that you will, you know, I'm trying to get through this, God. It's I. Somewhere down the line, lift up your eyes off yourself and see the harvest field out there. There are other people in this world, all around us. Other people who are dying and desperate and searching and hungry. And do you know what? You'd be amazed at how quickly a lot of the things that you're wanting to come into your life will come into your life once your eyes are actually off yourself. It's called the law of indirection. If you seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things get added to you. But as long as we're seeking the thing, it's elusive, keeps escaping our grasp. But God wants us focused on Him, and He can bring in these things from the side. You don't even notice they're there, and you go one day, whoa, where'd that come from? Every day here, we're training around the world, literally, and here through online college, thousands of students. And we're reaching out through television, seeing so many people come to Christ. In the last 2 weeks, I must have had 10 stories of people who've come to our churches because of television. A couple of weeks ago, there was a guy here who got saved at 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, whenever we were on in the morning. He was stoned, completely stoned, been smoking Mary Jane all night. And here he was looking at the TV. He heard me speaking and he asked Jesus into his life, got completely converted. Turned up here 6 years later and he's a Salvation Army minister now. He said, I just wanted to meet the man who led me to Christ, you know, at church. And this last, just 2 days ago, Sue Botta from one of our churches here in the city, she said, last night we had a healing service at C3 Church Carlingford. A beautiful lady called Ivy came along. We'd never met her before. She'd been watching C3 TV and saw Pastor Phil, who said at the end of the TV show, check out a C3 church near you. She said back to the TV, to me, there isn't a C3 church near me. However, this bothered her. So she looked online to see if there was one. And found that there was one just around the corner. She turned up last night desiring prayer and got healed. She says, you're so blessed to come and be in church. Amen. That's the power of television. That's part of our vision, to keep preaching the gospel through television. And I mean, you're a sitting duck as soon as you put your head on television for lots of criticism, but I could care less. There are tons of needy, humble people out there, and the humble will hear and be glad. And they'll be changed and transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got to preach the gospel. Regardless of the cheers and the jeers, you just got to keep on preaching to this world, because there's some people who will say, yes, that's what I want. Amen. Woe unto you and all the speaking well of you. Anyway, in our beyond missions area, where we have so many different areas, but here's just one area, Alicia Martin and the Food Within group. They help through Beyond, and they're reaching 80 families a week with food assistance and training programs. She was involved in a serious car accident about a year ago where she was pretty well incapacitated, but we prayed for her at Love Sydney at Presence, and through attending Andy Cabala's healing service 3 weeks ago, Alicia has been miraculously healed and now for painkillers, steroids, able to drive again. Her whole family has now been saved and their lives transformed, and they're back on track to continue working, struggling families in the community. Yeah. In church planning and development, 55 churches in the last year, over one a week. And I just wanted to, you know, highlight four of the Kitgum churches. Many churches have been planted in Southeast Asia and Africa. There are now 17 churches in the Kitgum area in Uganda, and six new churches planted in the last 12 months. There'll be 500 salvations. A brand new church up in Hong Kong with Wayne and Mary Simpson is roaring ahead. And in CAP, Christians Against Poverty, has to date helped over 200 families, and almost 80 people have received Christ. I see Nick Gibb down there. Stand up, Nick. And this is Nick, who runs CAP, doing a great job. Amazing. But you know, and these are all under the heading of what the vision is, that is both here and beyond. But right here in our church, all week long, we are involved in training people in our college. And so I wanted to give this, there's literally thousands. I just wanted to give you some of them, the stories of these guys. There's Jack Diaz. These are college graduates. Jack Diaz, who's a worship leader in C3LA, singer-songwriter. There's Delise Chomik, worship leader at C3 Calgary in Canada. Melissa Baker, worship pastor at C3 Long Island, New York. Laura Falconer, worship leader in C3 Amsterdam. Paul and Katrina Humble, pastors at C3 Port Macquarie. Steve and Christy Godfrey, lead pastors at C3 Kingscliff. They met at college too. Just thought I'd let that settle, amen. Some people call it bridal college. And Mike and Kelly Taylor, music directors, C3 London. Deb and Clarence Sashi went back and planted C3 Subang in Malaysia. Logan and Christy Craig, senior pastors at C3 Wellington. JD Elias, youth pastor at C3 Lausanne. Ellen Nielsen, worship leader C3 Ride. Natalie Taylor, EP for C3 Silverwater. Beck Gould, music director for C3 City Campus. Ming Lai, C3 Hong Kong Church Plant pastor. Stephen and Brittany Flight, young adults leader and worship leaders at C3 Wynyard in Tasmania. Barney Sweetman, worship leader, service coordinator at C3 Atlanta. Successful web developer. Then in the marketplace, just three I got here. Lucy Mason, songwriting for Sony BMG, supporting Jamie Cullum. Heather Taylor, acting graduate, just completed Italian tour of Robin Hood. And Riley Bergressa, vocalist, just completed the Sesame Street tour of the USA. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So there's so many. There's just thousands of these people that you have helped train. Every year you get involved in fulfilling a commitment to the Vision Builders program, you are getting thousands of people saved, starting churches, planting people all around the world, building the kingdom of God. You are part of the answer. You're not part of the problem. You're part of the overcoming, victorious answer in this generation. You're bringing good news all around the world through television, church planting, in all these ways. What an awesome thing to be involved in something that's changing the world, transforming people's lives. There are people here living for God who would have been dead if they hadn't met Jesus and started living for Christ. Probably you're looking at one right now. You know, Isaiah 60 verse 4 and 5 says, "Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons will come from afar, your daughters will be nursed at your side. Then you will see and become radiant." Come on, I thought we'd already seen. Lift up your eyes all around and see. A little further down, then you shall see. Lift up your eyes and see. You got to see them before you see them. You got to have it on the inside before you get it on the outside. Three or four years ago, our daughter Rebecca had her second child. And we went to the medical center, Chris and I, and they did the ultrasound. Put the jelly on her belly and got the machine, it goes like this, up on the TV screen, comes this little baby. And you go, "Wow, look at that, in there, up there." If I came to you right now and put the ultrasound spiritual machine on your spirit, what comes up on the screen? What do you got inside you about the future? When you look north and south and east and west, what's on the inside there? What can you see? You know, you got to look from where you are. Not a wild, crazy vision, but something that's doable. Next year, we're going to the Entertainment Center with Presence. We've already got 2,000 registrations. We had that many 2 weeks out. This is 11 months out. A lot of things are overflowing, like that dam was overflowing. Right now, you and I are in the middle of something, and it's wise to recognize it when it's happening. Do not say, there are yet 4 months. Right now, you can become a Connect Group leader. You can get involved in Vision Builders, and you can say, I'm part of the vision. I'm not going to sit on the sidelines. I'm going to be a real member. I'm going to be somebody who helps carry the load. I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to step out, make some sacrifices, and I'm going to see this vision come to pass. And that's the way God makes it happen. When you partner and become part of and take a step, and I'm telling you this, if you build his house, he will build yours. You cannot sow something to God and not reap it. Your future is in your seed. And when your seed goes into the soil, boom, your future starts turning towards you. David says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, Psalm 121, verse 1. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. For a military man, lifting up your eyes to the hills was a smart move. I'm gonna find my refuge in the hills. If I can get the high part, I've got the advantage over any of the enemies. I got the high ground. But you know, he got convicted when he said, I'm going to lift up my eyes to the hills. No, that's not where my help really comes from. I got to go higher. It's one thing to lift up your eyes from yourself and to start seeing the harvest. But you know, there's a further step to lift up your eyes to heaven to see your source of help and supply. You know, when Noah built that ark, God gave him one window and it was on top. All he could see was up. There was no windows in the side of that ark. He couldn't see death and destruction. He couldn't see judgment and negativity all around him. And if your eyes are full of TV shows at 6 o'clock at night, and you know there's bad news, the recession's coming, and there's all these countries falling over, and the banks are not following the RBA with their interest rates, and you're following all this, and your head is full of that, it's going to give you negative faith on the inside. You're going to be fearful, anxious, heading for depression. But if you will just close those windows and not let them overwhelm you, and look up to heaven and see the source of your supply, you are looking at an ultimate, unlimited, infinite resource that you can take a step out and God will be your supply. He's not subject to this economy. He's not subject to the economics of this world. He can supply from anywhere, no matter what's going on. So when you and I make a step of faith and find ourselves in a supernatural arena, because you can't get there without that step, then you find miracles start to pour into your world, overcoming all the things that are trying to bury you or drown you. It might take a little while. It might take a fight. It might take a day of breakthrough. But listen to me. I can prophesy to you right now that we are in a day of breakthrough. I'm not preaching just to try and create some hype. I'm telling you right now, I know about 10 different businessmen and people who have got breakthrough coming into their world. And you will find breakthrough coming into your finances, into your health, into your family life, your children. If they're going crazy, they're going to stop going crazy in Jesus' name. Amen. If the marriage is feeling wobbly, it's going to get whole, made whole. If you're getting depressed and oppressed, you're going to get set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to find yourself in a new day of magnificent breakthrough in Jesus' name. Can anybody say amen? Can you say, yeah, I'm with you, Pastor. I think that's going to be the truth. That's exactly what's going to happen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Phil Pringle Podcast. Check out philpringle.com to follow Phil's blog and latest resources. Join us next time for more great teaching.